This land is your land. This land is mine. From California to New York, from the redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Welcome to People Speak. I'm your host, Malik Johnson. We have today a very special guest, an activist, lecturer, author, and who some call the Peace Mom and the Rosa Parks of the anti-war movement, Miss Cindy Sheehan. Thank you for being here with us, Miss Sheehan.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
It is quite an honor for some, particularly Reverend Lennox Yearwood, who's CEO of Musical Genre Caucus, to describe you in such endearing terms as the Rosa Parks of the anti-war movement. Ms. Sheehan, you began your activism as a result of your son's passing, Casey Sheehan, who was a specialist in the United States. Yeah, who was a specialist in the United States Army and who passed in Iraq in April 2004. Correct.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. In August 2005. You set up a peace camp a few miles outside President George Bush's Texas ranch, and the single and central question you wanted the President of the United States, our employee, to answer is, for what purpose did your son die in Iraq? In other words, you asked, why did my son have to die in Iraq? I was curious, Ms. Sheehan, did President George Bush or anyone, part of his office or political party, ever answer that single and central question for you?
Well, you know, my question, which turned out to be kind of, you know, the slogan that summer was, what noble cause? Because George Bush kept on saying they're dying for a noble cause. So, you know, when I went to Crawford, Texas on August 605, I never intended on setting up a peace camp. It just happened. I wanted to meet with him. I wanted to ask him what noble cause, and I was, you know, under this mistaken notion that it would just be me and a few other people sitting there waiting for George Bush to answer my question. But it turned out to be almost 15,000 people joined us that summer in the 26 days we were there in August. But the first day I was there, Stephen Hadley, who is the National Security Advisor, and he was at that time, and Joe Hagan, who was the Deputy Chief of Staff, came out the first day, and they tried to tell me that, you know, it was noble what we're doing over there. And I just said, you know, I know you lied about WMD, you know, especially Stephen Hadley. He was the one responsible for putting, you know, the words about yellowcake uranium in the State of the Union speech. And I kept on telling them. They would tell me why they thought it was good. I would tell them why I thought it was bad. And finally, I just said, I don't think you guys believe what you're telling me. You know, it's so incredible. I don't think you believe it. I don't think you're stupid enough to believe what you're telling me. And I said, make no mistake, just because I'm a grieving mother doesn't make me stupid either. And so the next person I want to talk to is your boss, and that's what I came here for. And they left, and that's the last I heard from anybody.
Now, Ms. Sheehan, you did, in fact, have a brief encounter with George Bush in June 2004 at Fort Lewis near Tacoma, Washington. And
right.
After, about 3 months after your son passed. I was curious about that.
It was barely 2 months after Casey was killed in Iraq, and not even 2 months after we buried him. So, yeah, it was very soon after. And, you know, looking back, we were just in such a state of shock and pain and, you know, everything that goes with it, that it was a very surreal meeting.
And I was curious about that. I call it an encounter, not much of a meeting, but an encounter. And I was curious, did George Bush come across to be sincerely, as if he sincerely cared about you and your son and your grief? Or did he come across, you know, as if he had a role that was superficially scripted?
Well, he definitely, his mind wasn't with us. He was on to the next thing. You know, you could tell that he wasn't fully present in the encounter. That's a good word. And he called me Mom the whole time, and he wouldn't even look at the... Yeah, he called me Mom. He wouldn't look at the pictures we brought of Casey, and I felt like saying, if I was your mom, you would have been brought up better. But, you know, he wouldn't look at the pictures of Casey. He wouldn't even call Casey by his name. He didn't even want to know Casey's name. He kept on calling him the loved one. You know, he didn't even say him. He was saying the loved one or your loved one, you know. And, yeah, he just wasn't there. I think towards the end of the meeting when he said that he just wanted to pass on, you know, the gratitude of the nation, you know, it seemed like he was more real in that second, but then he was off and out the door.
So in August, you want to have a second meeting with him. You create the Camp Casey, and people start joining in and things of that nature, and you just want to ask George Bush to tell you of the noble cause as related
right.
to your son. And, right. And let me, I'm really curious, what was the noble cause? Weapons of mass destruction? Was it Saddam Hussein was a threat? Was it America's interests, or did George that America was part? I mean, Iraq was part of Al Qaeda or something of that nature? Did you ever get an answer to that one? The noble cause.
No. You know, they tried to say through the media, and he actually mentioned my name a few times in press. You know, when he was having press conferences, because the press was asking him about it, you know, like, are you going to meet with Cindy Sheehan? And once he said no, you know, I have to get on with my life. And that was so, that broke my heart when he said he had to get on with his life because of his actions, you know, that won't be an option for me. I'll live the rest of my life. Even if I live to be over 100 and forget everything else, I won't forget what George Bush did to my family by his
right.
lies, deception. But, you know, they keep on saying that it's, you know, spreading this freedom in the Middle East and spreading democracy. And we know, and the soldiers know, don't spread that at the end of a gun. And really imposing a philosophy or an ideology on another people is by violence and force is the Army's definition of terrorism. So, you know, I think the noble cause, the Bush administration doesn't really have one, but I want to make my son's death count for peace and justice and not killing and hatred.
Yeah, you know, as George Bush said that he must move on with his life, was there somewhat, and for lack of a better word, was it strategic advantageous that George Bush didn't grant you that second meeting? And the reason why I ask that question is it appears to me that had he gone out and granted that second meeting with you at Camp Casey, that could have decreased the momentum of the peace movement.
Well, if he had met with me, especially on that first day, it would have diffused the entire situation. I would have gone.
Right.
And if he had met with me at any point, you know, in that month, I would have left because that's what I said. I'm going to stay here till you meet with me or until your vacation's over. And when your vacation's over, I'll follow you to Washington, D.C. And that's what we did. And, yeah, well, you know, I don't think we'd be talking on the phone right now if he had met with me. You know, I don't
right.
think that I would be traveling all over the world, you know, building up this peace movement if he had met with me. I would have written an article about what he said and about how I disagreed with him, and I would have gone on with my peace efforts, but it wouldn't have turned into what it did in the summer of 05, that's for sure.
Let me ask you, Ms. Sheehan, very flatly and frankly and candid and above board, why do you believe the United States of America invaded Iraq?
I believe that we invaded Iraq and we fight most of our wars to enrich the military-industrial complex. I believe that we have a government, an administration that has been deeply entrenched in the oil business. I think it's to control the region's natural resources. I think that everything we've done since the invasion has been to destabilize the country, so we can steal their resources so these war profiteers can make They're billions and billions of dollars of profit. You know, every quarter they're making billions of dollars of profit. And I think it's because our government, you know, even Congress, many members of Congress, they're what really runs our country is corporate interest, and it's the lobbyists, and it's what Eisenhower warned us is the military-industrial complex.
Yes. You know, so you basically would vehemently deny James Morris. James Morris was a former friend and an anti-Zionist activist. In 2005, March 2005, ABC's Nightline was emailed from something from James Morris. And James Morris said that, and he was supposedly and allegedly speaking on your behalf, but he was saying that your son was killed for lies and for a PNAC neocon agenda to benefit Israel. You said you never said that at all. Mr. James Morris was not speaking on your behalf.
Right. I never said that. And, you know, I do believe that our terrorism problem and why we were attacked on 9/11 is because of our, you know, our unbalanced support of Israel and their oppression of the Palestinians and our oppression of other Arab peoples. And, you know, I believe that I don't agree with the Israeli, you know, their oppression of Palestine. You know, I think there should be a two-state solution. But I'm, you know, many Israelis believe the same thing as I do. It doesn't make me anti-Semitic or against Israel because I'm against, you know, some of the policies of their government, just like it doesn't make me anti-American because I'm against the policies of our government. So, you know, I know that I believe that there are Zionists who were, you know, especially people like Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl who were responsible, you know, but they were only, you know, partly responsible, and I can't say that they were doing it for Israel. You know, I don't know that, and I don't believe that.
And one of the things that's really interesting about you is when you go out there, you don't just talk about the Republicans. For instance, in September 2005, you met with Senator John McCain, and you called him a warmonger, I believe. You also talked about the Republicans and the Democrats. For instance, in October 2005, during a rally outside Senator Hillary Clinton's office in New York, you told the crowd that Senator Clinton either speaks out against the Iraq War or risks losing her job.
Right.
I would just wonder, do you find any of the current candidates, Republican or Democrat, to be strong on withdrawing from Iraq?
Well, you know, I don't look at people through, you know, party-tinted glasses. I look at them as human beings, and the current candidates, yeah, I see Ron Paul, who's a Republican. He voted no on the authority, you know, the resolution they had to give George Bush the authority to go to war. He's never voted for one supplemental funding bill. He votes no on everything. He's from a Republican from Texas. And Dennis Kucinich has, in fact, Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich sponsored a bill together in 2005 to have the troops back home within 6 months. So, yeah, there are, and, you know, then there's John Edwards, who, you know, is hawkish on Iran like all the rest of the candidates except Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel are all hawkish on Iran. They all say that, you know, that option's not, a nuclear option's not off the table on Iran, and I think that's an abomination to even, you know, threaten another country with weapons of mass destruction. But, you know, John Edwards has said that if he's president, he'll bring the troops out of Iraq immediately, and he's proven to be somebody who can very, you know, with a lot of integrity, be able to say, I was wrong, I made a mistake, and this is how I'm going to fix it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Not to be intrusive. Well, yes, I do want to be intrusive. I'm nosy. I want to know, who do you got your eye on as far as who you will vote for? We know it's not Senator McCain, and we know Senator Hillary Clinton is off the table. Who do you like?
Well, I really like Dennis Kucinich. You know, he's a good friend of mine. He's always voted with his integrity and his morals, and he is a deeply moral person. And you know, I will support him. And you know, I just you know, hate to think who's going to be our main candidates and for the 08 election. And I think it's going to be one warmonger against another warmonger, like it was in 2004. You know, the only reason I voted for John Kerry is because he wasn't Bush, but now I'm ashamed of that vote because he said he would increase the troop presence. He never, you know, he talked about hunting down the terrorists and killing them. You know, he was very a hawk too. And I voted for him because he wasn't George Bush. Well, you know, that's not good enough. You know, we need somebody who leads with their wisdom and their honesty and their integrity, you know, not out of corporate interest. And I don't know who's going to come down to and who I'll support, but until Dennis is out of the primaries, I'll support him. And I think anybody who cares about peace and justice in the grassroots should be supporting Dennis Kucinich or Ron Paul, who basically has the same philosophy on these things as Dennis Kucinich does.
You know, not only does your activism, it's not only verbal, you're very much physically in part. You know, some of your physical activism has resulted in arrests. One in particular, it was what, January 2006, you wore a T-shirt reading, 2,245 dead, how many more? And then that was at the Bush's State of the Union address, and you were removed and arrested by Capitol Police. I'm curious, do you believe that George Bush and his, shall I say, cronies targeted you?
They knew I was going to be there because Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey from Santa Rosa put out a press release that she gave me her other ticket. So they knew I was going to be there, and they were watching me. And no sooner had I unzipped my – I sat in the seat. I was in my seat for about 20 seconds. I unzipped my jacket. Somebody saw my shirt, you know, one of the Capitol Hill police, yelled, "Protester," and I was looking around like, who's protesting? And because I just unzipped my jacket, and then, yeah, they hauled me off and kept me in jail for 4 hours.
4 hours?
Yeah. In three different jails. They were me all over D.C.
Wow. You know, Beverly Young, though, the wife of the Representative Bill Young, the Republican from Florida,
right.
She was also told to leave because she was wearing a T-shirt that read, quote, "Support the troops, defending our freedom," end quote. But was she arrested? Was she arrested at all?
I wasn't even given an option. I wasn't even asked to cover my shirt up. I wasn't given any kind of option. I was dragged out. I was dragged out and arrested. She wasn't arrested. She was asked to leave.
That's what I thought was really strange, is that, you know, Beverly Young was asked to leave, and you were pretty much dragged out of the, you know, out of the place. And
right. I had no, they didn't give me an option one way or the other. They just yelled "protester," and the next thing I knew, I was in handcuffs.
Wow. You know, but you have many supporters who speak highly of you. Seriously, you know, from Susan Sarandon, the actress, Phil Donahue, speaking of you, Dick Gregory, Al Sharpton. Incidentally, Al Sharpton will quite likely be on The People Speak, and I'll probably be speaking with him. You know, you got so many people.
Tell him I said hi.
I sure will. I will tell him that you said hello. You know, you have MoveOn.org, Democracy Now!, New York Times. Maureen Dow did a piece on you. You got some of the most powerful voices supporting you, many in the American public. And as much as you got people who support you, you know there's a lot of criticism. You know, there's a lot of criticism. For instance, your sister-in-law, I believe her name is Sherry Quattro.
Cherie?
Yes, Cherie. Okay. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. She allegedly emailed Matt Drudge on around August 11, 2005, an email. And then allegedly this email read in part, quote, "We do not agree with the political motivations and publicity tactics of Cindy Sheehan. She now appears to be promoting her own personal agenda, blah, blah, blah." I'm curious. Did Cherie even know your son, Casey?
Well, Cherie was Casey's aunt and was Casey's godmother, but basically had not very much contact with him, especially since he went in the Army. And, that was probably the most hurtful thing that ever happened to me. I can take the smears and the lies and the attacks from the right-wing people like O'Reilly and Limbaugh and, Ann Coulter. That doesn't bother me. I just consider the source. They're just very ignorant hate mongers. But, when my own family, that I was a member of their family for 30 years, and they turned on me like that, saying, their dear Casey, when they barely even knew Casey, and saying I was doing publicity. I was doing it. I did it before Camp Casey. I did it during Camp Casey. I've done it after Camp Casey. And, my entire life has been sacrificed, and most of it has been put on hold to try and get our troops out of Iraq. And, that was very hurtful to me when she did that.
Right, and you wouldn't have continued doing this had George Bush just met with you. That's all you wanted initially, right?
That's all I wanted.
That's all you wanted. You talked about the right-wingers, the Ann Coulters, the Man Coulter, the Sean
right.
Hannity. What is his real name? Sean, I forget. The Bill O'Reilly. He really has an issue with you, Bill O'Reilly. I mean,
Bill O'Reilly and Hannity has decided I'm evil. So
they said you're evil, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, they have they have nerves to talk. You know what really struck me as strange is Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh was on his radio show, and he said that your followers were dope-smoking FM types. Do you find it rather ironic that Mr. Oxycontin would talk
right.
about dope?
And Rush Limbaugh also said that my story was made up, just like Bill Burkett's story about in the National Guard, that my story was based on documents. And, I was like, what an idiot. Does he think I buried an empty coffin just so I could go after George Bush? That was just like one of the most moronic, despicable things that anybody's ever said. But I made the story up. I wish I made it up. I wish I didn't have to bury my son.
There was some lesser-known individuals like Laura Youngblood, whose husband, Travis, was killed in action in Fallujah. You were on MSNBC, and while on MSNBC in September 2005, you told Youngblood that her baby would be fatherless for a lie. Do you regret ever making that statement to Ms. Youngblood?
I don't remember making that statement. Okay. But I think it's true. I think her baby doesn't have a father, and George Bush lied. George Bush lied, Dick Cheney lied, Condoleezza Rice lied, Colin Powell lied, George Tenet lied. They all lied. And it's unfortunate. And, it's the truth, though. And I feel so sorry for that baby. I feel sorry for all the fatherless children in the world and all the mothers who had to bury their children in Iraq and America because of these lies.
It's interesting. It's kind of like when, one of the lesser-known individuals other than Ann Coulter and
yeah.
John Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh, some of the lesser-known individuals like Natalie Healy, I believe, mother of Dan Haley, who was a Navy SEAL who was killed in Iraq, she said, she was responding to you, and she said, we just want to let the fellas know that we're supporting them and that we're not going to wimp out on them. And this is something that struck me as strange, wimp out. Some
uh-huh.
Critics of yours, they suggest that sending troops abroad and in harm's way means supporting the troops. Wanting to bring the troops home and out of harm's way, they say it's not supporting the troops. How do you begin to understand their psychology of that thing?
I don't understand why they think supporting the troops in an illegal and immoral war where they're dying and killing innocent people is support. And I just want to say that just because we're against, the peace movement is against George Bush and against his war. We're not against the soldiers. You know, in fact, we think we're supporting. And just because my son died for lies and that Miss Youngblood's husband died for lies doesn't mean that they weren't honorable people doing their jobs. Their government, their commander-in-chief is a dishonorable one. And, you know, people have to understand that. You have to separate support for George Bush from support from the troops, for the troops, because they're just, the Bush administration is cutting VA benefits. They're sending people over there for the fourth tours of duty without the equipment they need to survive. They don't get enough food. They don't get enough clean water. How is that supporting the troops? And why would any decent American want to support the troops in a situation like this? You know, and that is less and less. Only 24% of America still supports George Bush in the war. You know, and I'm sorry anybody had to die for this. And, you know, it's a tragedy, and people are dying every day, and it keeps on going on. And, you know, it shouldn't have ever happened. And to support our guys and gals, we need to get them out of there. I've never said gal before. I don't know why I just said gal right now. To support our men and women in uniform, we have to get them out of there. And now I'm afraid I've run out of time, Malik.
All right. Thank you, Miss Cindy Sheehan. I know that you're on your way. Could you just tell us where you're going to be next so we can look out for you? And also, I'm going to go ahead and say real quickly that you are one of the founding members for the Gold Star for Families for Peace, and people can visit the website and get actively involved at www.gsfp.org. And I was just curious, real quickly, could you tell us where will you be next so we can go ahead and look out for you and listen to you, enjoy you?
Well, I'm in Chico right now, and I'm going to speak at Harlan Adams Hall, I think they called it, tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm going to Washington State. We're going to do a Mother of a March in Washington, D.C. on Monday, and people can get more information at the website you just gave. And, you know, we're going to be back in Crawford, Texas in August. We're going to swarm Congress all summer. And then we're going to take our summer of resistance to Crawford, Texas in August. So we just go to the website that you gave, and people can get more information about what we're doing.
Thank you, Ms. Cindy Sheehan. You've been exceptional, and I certainly appreciate your taking the time to talk to us. Again, listeners, you can go to www.gsfp.org and get involved. Thank you very much, Ms. Cindy Sheehan. I wish you the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Malik, for having me. Okay,
bye-bye.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the city by the relief on the fast, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering how this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to New York, I have redwood forest, the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. Me.